Hi, this is Jake, and you're listening to the Flight Training Podcast.
I want us to start this episode by imagining three different people. And the first person we're going to imagine is a baby that is being taken around a city. So this baby, you know, is growing up in the city, and it's the baby's parents put the baby in a car seat, drive this kid around town, they pull him out of the car seat, and his impression of the city as he knows it isn't, he doesn't really see much because he's, when he's driving, and he doesn't necessarily understand the connections between the places that he goes. So for him, there's this house, there's the grocery store, there's the park, or wherever, you know, there's grandma's house. But he doesn't necessarily connect the dots that those places are connected. For him, it's just car leads to this place or this place or this place or this place, but there's no map in his head how to get from one place to another. He's totally dependent on his parents to take him places. He couldn't get there himself. Now, I also want you to picture a man in the city. Let's even say the dad of the kid. Now, the man drives from grandma's house to the park to the grocery store to home. And so for him, he can see in his mind, if he wanted to, he can imagine the roads he has to take to get from point A to point B. And he understands the distances between them and the connections between them, and that the grocery store is on the way home from grandma's, but it's not close at all to the park or whatever, you know. Final person, stick with me on this analogy. Final person I want you to imagine is the mom. And let's say the mom is a little more adventurous of the family, and she not only drives around in the city, but she also goes up to a mountain overlooking the city. And so, yeah, she knows, just like her husband, about driving in the city and what that all looks like. But she also has this perspective from looking down from the mountaintop of the entire layout of the city, kind of the bird's eye view. And so she's able to see some themes that maybe the husband doesn't even notice. That, like, the reason the park is not really close on the way home from grandma's isn't because they're not close as the bird flies, but it's because there's a river running through town or something, and there's not a bridge close by, and whatever, you know. Okay, enough with that analogy. Why am I talking about that? Well, I want to use that as an analogy about how people read the Bible. So when people are new to the Bible, a lot of times, if they're a new Christian, if they're a baby in the faith, they will just kind of hop around where other people tell them to read. And when I say other people, it could be things like the app on their phone with the verse of the day, or Jesus calling that they're reading, or a pastor preaching out of this passage and then that passage and this verse, or a verse that someone texts to them, whatever it might be. And for them, you know, they read a verse and they have no idea how that verse is connected to other verses. They take that verse for what it is, and that's it. And that's not bad. That's how you start. The only way you can really get a map of a place is you have to start learning some stuff somewhere. And so that's a way to grow. So it's totally fine in your development, getting used to the Bible, to just jump in here and jump in there as other people guide you. When you're new, you need help, and people are going to guide you to different places. But at some point, it's very healthy to be like the guy, the man in the city that I described, where he knows how to get from point A to point B, from point B to point C. He can see all the connections. And for reading the Bible with this analogy, I would describe that as someone who reads straight through books of the Bible. So they wake up in the morning, they read Matthew 1, and then the next morning they read Matthew 2, and then the next morning they read Matthew 3, and then the next morning they read Matthew 4, until they get to the end of Matthew. And then they read another book of the Bible. So for them, they're able to put these random verses they read on their app or something, they're able to put those in some context, or at least as they do that more and more and more, they get a layout of how these things connect to each other. And they're much more capable at following the flow of things and finding things themselves. It's a much more healthy way to live. It's a healthy way to handle scripture. Okay, and I would recommend for anybody with any maturity in their walk with Jesus, and they've got a good handle on reading the Bible, I would definitely suggest at least doing that, at least reading straight through books, not just skipping around books of the Bible. But I think it's very healthy to sometimes be like the lady in the story and get a bird's eye view of the Bible, to get to see, like, what is the theme here? How does this all connect? Because sometimes the problem, if you're stuck in the middle of the city, you can't see the whole layout of the city. So what am I describing there? Well, let me talk just a little bit more about looking down from a mountain. I grew up, you know, in Missouri, not a lot of mountains around, and but I did have an experience living down near Monterrey, this big city in Mexico, that had several mountains around it, had this mountain range around it. And I got a chance to go up on one particular mountain quite a few times. And so there's a city that I was getting used to, but every once in a while I was getting to see it from a mountain perspective. And I remember from the mountaintop, I saw stuff that I'd never seen before, even though I'd been in the city quite a bit. There was this gigantic Mexican flag that I had never driven by that you couldn't miss when you're looking down at the city from this mountaintop. There was also the mountains themselves. Like when you're in the city, you see the mountains up there. But what I never noticed till I got on top of the mountain was how the mountain ridges and kind of the foot or the root of the mountains, the fingers that it put out into the city, how that affected the landscape of the city. I mean, here's how my experience when I was just driving in the city was, oh, this is a really hilly area or something like that. But when you look from the mountain, you see like, oh yeah, that neighborhood's hilly. And then at a certain point, it gets too steep and they just stop building. And you see it in a different way, that like the mountain determined where that neighborhood stops. Whereas in my mind, I just think like, oh, this is a neighborhood and it's hilly. But when I see it from the mountaintop perspective, I see like, that's a neighborhood that was built in the only place that it could be built, and it would cost way too much money to keep building it. You know, so you see some of the reasons behind why that neighborhood was set up the way. It's very clear from the top of the mountain, but I would have never thought about it when I was driving around in that subdivision or whatever. So, or things like, they don't really have rivers that are going all the time in Monterrey, but they have all these, you know, concrete spots where river flows whenever it rains. And you can see that real clearly, kind of the flow of it from the mountaintop. Again, you know, you kind of get a grip for it when you're in the city, but things become much clearer when you're looking down from the mountain. A few things. I'm not saying I would know everything about the city just from looking on top. But I'm saying that it adds to it. It's a good complement to being in the city, is getting a bird's eye view. So how do you get a bird's eye view of a book of the Bible? How do you study and get a bird's eye view? Well, there might be multiple ways to do this, but today we're going to talk about a very particular way to do it that is very helpful, something I probably wouldn't have ever found if I hadn't read Celebration Discipline by Richard Foster. So here's what he talks about. He says, much of our Bible reading is fragmentary and sporadic. Then he goes on to say, here's a suggestion. He says, consider taking a major book of the Bible, like Genesis or Jeremiah, and read it straight through. Notice the structure and flow of the book. Note areas of difficulty and return to them later. Jot down thoughts and impressions. And he later talks about doing this at a retreat, you know, going, spending time alone. And when he says read it straight through, I didn't get all the details here in my quote, but he's not talking about the way I described reading Matthew one chapter a day. What he's talking about is read all 28, I believe, chapters in Matthew. Read all of those in one sitting. So sit down, start in Matthew chapter 1, and read the whole book of Matthew. That's what he's describing. You might be like, well, what is that going to do for me? That's a lot of reading. I'm going to get bored. How on earth is that going to help me? Well, I read that challenge at one point, and I took him very specifically. He said Genesis is one of the books that he recommended. I went ahead and read Genesis, and it was a book I'd liked. You know, I'd read it a few times before. A lot of themes came through to me that I'd never understood in Genesis before. It just popped. You know, this family saga. You know, some of it, it's hard to put into words exactly, but, you know, I knew the facts of Genesis before, but how all those facts fit together and kind of these big themes running through it of God blessing things, you know, I didn't see all of that until I read it in one sitting. You know, I did the same thing a while back with Deuteronomy, a book I'd read multiple times, but I read it straight through. And again, Deuteronomy is so strong. You know, at the end of it, it talks a lot about blessing and cursing. But when you read it all in one sitting, you see like this whole book is about choose the path. You can either be blessed or you can be cursed. Make your choice. And the theme is very, very strong when you read it in one sitting. But in the past, Deuteronomy is dry enough. I never got that sort of overarching theme, because it would just be kind of like, whoa, you know, I'm kind of bored in some of these chapters, and then, oh, here's a really good one, and then I'm bored for a little while again. But when you set it down and read it all in one sitting, again, there were definitely bored moments in it, but it gave me a very different impression of the book. Now, for you guys this week, I do want you to read a whole book of the Bible. I do want it to be a significant book, but I'm not going to push you to read Genesis or Deuteronomy. What I want you to read is something you're familiar with already. Hopefully, even you've read it multiple times, and this will give you a new perspective. Even if you've never read one of these four books all the way through before, now's your chance, and definitely it's something that you'll be semi-familiar with. Okay, so, and when I said four books, you may have already guessed what the challenge is, so I want you to read either Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Okay, so the four Gospels, the four testaments that we have of Jesus' life here on earth. I want you to pick one of the four and read it in one sitting this week. Okay, so that will take you some time. And when I say one sitting, you can get up and go to the bathroom. You can get up and get a glass of water. You can get up and even make yourself a sandwich if you need to or something. Okay, so, but what I don't want you to do is start reading it, then get distracted and go mow your grass, and then read some more, and then get distracted and do laundry, and then read some more, and then get bored and fall asleep, and then wake up and go to work, and then come home and read some more. I don't want you to do that. That's reading it four different chunks. Like, that's not what we're talking about. I want you to sit there, and even if you get bored, even if you have to pace as you read, and you're like holding the book in front of you, walking around, reading so you don't fall asleep or something, I want you to read it straight through. I know it's hard. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. But if you read it straight through, and like Foster recommended, I want you also specifically, as part of the challenge, I want you to write down your thoughts and your impressions as you read. Particularly if you see some sort of theme, you see some sort of structure of like, oh, you know, Matthew, when he wrote this, he always puts this with this. Or, wow, I see that like he's always pointing this out, or he's talking about this a whole lot. So you see that sort of stuff come out, write it down. If you have stuff that you're like, I don't even understand this chapter, like write that stuff down, okay? If you have something you're like, whoa, this is so awesome, I'm learning this thing and it applies to my, you know, what I should do at work, okay, write that down. But the point is isn't necessarily like to get a whole bunch of devotional insight. The point of this is to help you really know that book of the Bible better, like to get a mountaintop view of it, to be able to say like, I understand some things that I didn't understand before about this book. I know the truth of this book better. And later on in life, as you're going through life, having that truth planted in you is going to be devotionally helpful. But the point of it, as we're doing this, is to study it. Okay, so hopefully that makes sense. It is a hard challenge this week. I don't think it'll be fun. I don't know, it might be. You might actually get a lot out of it and enjoy it. But give yourself some time. Give yourself freedom to get away from your responsibilities. And it'll take you a little while, but read through either Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Write down your thoughts and impressions and bring your writing with you to class, okay? So don't show up and say like, oh, I forgot it at home. Bring it with you, okay? Feel free to stick it in your Bible or stick it, you know, somewhere that you're gonna, you know, leave it in your car so that way you can't forget it or whatever, you know? So, but do that before the next time we meet, and it'll give you that mountaintop view, that bird's eye view of that story of Jesus, and I think you'll learn more about Jesus. And right there, like, I know you might not even think like, I don't want to do this, but that idea, I get to learn something new about Jesus. Hopefully that's motivation enough. So that's our challenge this week. I look forward to hearing what you guys get out of your study.